This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Joshua chapter number 20. And I want to look at verses 1 down to verse number 9. And just for a little while here this morning, I want to bring you just some simple truths out of the Word of God pertaining to this chapter. Now, this chapter is a wonderful chapter, and you're going to find that here in Joshua chapter 20, we have a wonderful picture of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is seen throughout not only the New Testament, but also the Old Testament? As a matter of fact, the entire Word of God speaks of one person, and that is Jesus. And here in Joshua chapter number 20, you're going to see one of the most wonderful pictures of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in what is called the City of Refuge. And so this morning, we're calling this God's City of Refuge. Now, if you've never heard about this before, look at me in verse number 1, and we'll dig into it, and I'll explain what is going on. Just 9 verses here, and then we'll pray. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out of your cities of refuge. Wherefore I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unaware and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be a refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto him, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in the city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and unto the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. And we talked about that with Caleb, which is Hebron in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Here are the 6 cities of refuge that they pick out. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unaware might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. I want you to be seated. This is a great passage of Scripture. And just for a few moments, in a very, very self-explanatory application, you're going to see a wonderful, beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ does for each and every one of us through God's City of Refuge. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this place. And I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that you would help us to understand the Word of God. Perhaps this is the first time that some believers are even reading this chapter. Perhaps they've never heard about a city of refuge. Lord, I pray today that I would exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that your saints, Lord, would worship you as they ought. And Lord, perhaps there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin. They are a sinner. They have no safety and no solace. They have no sanctuary, Lord, or security. May they find all of these things in the person of Jesus Christ by confessing their sin and calling upon you today. So lead us and guide us and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, did you know that the entire Bible speaks of just one person? And that one person is who, church? Who is it? Jesus. The entire Bible speaks of one person. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, it speaks of one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some that would argue that the Old Testament speaks of other people. They would say, well, the Old Testament speaks of Abraham, or it speaks of Moses, David. It may speak of the prophets. And while the prophets are certainly somebody who is an attraction to study, they are certainly not the main event of the book of the Old Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament, the entire Bible speaks of one person, and that is Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, it points to him who is our Redeemer and our Messiah. When you go to the book of Genesis, you find that he is the seed of the woman. When we read Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. When we look at Leviticus, he is the atoning sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the bronze serpent. In Deuteronomy, he is the promised prophet. In Joshua, he's the unseen captain. He is the city of refuge. In Judges, he is our deliverer. In Ruth, he's our heavenly kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, he is the promised king. When you read Ezra and Nehemiah, he's the restorer and the builder of the nation. In Esther, he is the one who has arrived for such a time as this. In the book of Job, he is our redeemer. In Psalms, he is our all in all. In Proverbs, he is our pattern. In Ecclesiastes, he is our goal. In the Song of Solomon, he is our beloved. In all of the prophets, the Bible teaches he is the coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace. In Matthew, he is our king. In Mark, he is the blessed servant of Jehovah. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. And in the Gospel of John, he is the Son of God. In the book of Acts, he is God who is ascended and seated and sending out his church among the nations to preach the gospel that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In all the letters of the epistles, he is returning and reigning. He's indwelling and filling. And in the book of Revelation, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is greatly to be praised. Let's give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God this morning. Hallelujah to his name. The entire Bible speaks of one person. From cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament, it speaks of Jesus. Do you remember reading about that first Easter Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away and Jesus Christ rose from the dead that morning? There was all sorts of activity that took place. Some of the disciples were running to the tomb. Others were hiding in fear. Thomas was doubting. The women met Jesus at the tomb. But there's one unique story that Luke tells us about in Luke chapter number 24. In Luke chapter number 24, he talks about two men who were on the road to Emmaus. Now, apparently, these were two of the followers of Jesus. And while they're walking down the road to Emmaus, their hopes and their dreams of a Messiah, a Redeemer, has been shattered, because Christ has been crucified. And they had broken dreams and broken hearts, and they are discussing everything that happened in Jerusalem that weekend. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a stranger that appears to them. Well, they don't know it, but the stranger is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus is walking with these two men on the road to Emmaus, and they begin pouring their heart out to Jesus, not knowing it is him. He disguised himself somehow, whether it was supernatural, maybe it was with a cloak. Somehow, some way, they didn't recognize that it was the Lord. Maybe they were so blinded by the events of the weekend that they hadn't realized that Jesus had risen from the dead. But the Bible says that Jesus is walking with them, and they have no idea who that man is. And so he asked them, "Why are you so sad?" They're like, "Are you crazy? Have you not heard what's happened in Jerusalem of this week? Have you not heard what's happened?" And they begin to explain to him. And as they begin to talk to Jesus in their discouragement, God turns it around and begins taking the scripture and pointing the entire word of God to one person, and that is Jesus. Watch this now. Luke chapter 24, verse number 27. "And beginning at Moses," watch this, "at Moses," that's the first five books of the Bible, beginning at Moses, starting in the book of Genesis, then in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The word expound there is a Greek word that means to explain the intent of something thoroughly. And so here's what Jesus did. These guys were so discouraged, they were so distraught, and the Lord takes the Word of God and he expounds on the Word of God. That is, he explains the intent of Scripture thoroughly. And the Bible says that he points out from cover to cover, page to page, Jesus is the central theme of the entire Bible. Jesus is the main character of Scripture. All the Bible speaks of his love and his grace and his mercy. We see him in person in the New Testament. We see him in pictures in the Old Testament. But no matter how you look at it, you find the magnitude and the greatness of our God who loves us. And hey, he's coming back one grand and glorious day to take us to heaven to be with him. And somebody ought to say amen about that. Jesus is the main character of Scripture. Now, what I want you to see this morning, just for a little while, I want you to see that even in the book of Joshua, even as the people of God are conquering their Canaan and possessing their possession, that Jesus Christ is pictured in this wonderful Old Testament book. He's going to be pictured in this city of refuge. Now, what you need to know right away is this, so you'll understand the application as we go along. We know that we don't have a city of refuge, but we certainly know that Christ is our refuge. Someone say amen. In Christ, we find security. In Christ, we find salvation. In Christ, we find sanctuary. In Christ, we find solace. And what you find here in this story is an Old Testament example of a New Testament truth, that Christ is the refuge for every believer that is here this morning and for those that need to be saved. I want you to follow along with me this morning, and perhaps maybe you've never heard this, but I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. First of all, I want to talk about the promise of that city. The promise of that city. If you will notice in verse number 2 of our text, the Bible says, appoint out for you cities of refuge. Wherefore I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Now, this is not something that Joshua is creating himself. This is something that was initiated by God and given to Moses, and now Moses has passed it on to Joshua. And Joshua, all that Joshua is doing in this chapter is he is obeying what the man of God told him to do based upon the authority of the Word of God. We know that this started with Moses. Well, where did it start? Go back to Numbers with me, if you will. Numbers chapter number 35, verses 9 down to verse number 13. And here you will see how God had a conversation with Moses. And the God tells Moses, as you enter into the city or enter into Canaan and you begin to conquer Canaan and possess the possessions, this is what I want you to do. And we find the same instructions in Joshua chapter 20 as we find in Numbers chapter 35. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unaware. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for a refuge. Now here's where we're at in our Finish Well series so far. In Joshua chapter number 20, the people has moved into Canaan. They have conquered their Canaan, they're possessing their possessions, and Joshua has divided up an inheritance among the people. That means that the people are moving into their village, they're moving into their territory, they're claiming their acreage, they're claiming their area, they're claiming their territory, and they're starting to build homes. They're building a home. They're building their barns. They are there framing out their fences. They are there working and building a life for the glory of God. And you got to know how excited they are. It's been a long journey. They've come out of Egypt under Pharaoh. They've gone through the wilderness all those years. There has been fight and battle after battle after battle for 7 years. They have been in a bloodbath. They have been moving people out, moving people aside. They've had trouble on every hand, but now, finally, the battle is over, and they're claiming their inheritance. You can just imagine how happy the people are that they are now settling in the land. But here's what you need to know. God told Joshua not only to conquer the land, but he also told him to initiate the commandments of the Lord when they get there. You know, it's a good application, a good principle for us. While we are working, we need to make sure that we are worshiping the Lord and following his word. Someone say amen. While we're conquering our Canaan, while we are possessing our possessions, spiritually speaking, while we are inheriting the blessings of God, while we are moving forward, doing battle with the devil and battle with the world and battle with our flesh, while we are conquering, let's not forget that we ought to be telling our children, our sons and our daughters, and this generation that's dying and going to hell, let's tell them about the commandments of the Lord. Somebody say amen. And this is where Joshua is at. So in the chapter, we find that he's carrying out the commandments of the Lord. From Numbers chapter number 35, he's only taking what God told Moses, and Moses has given it to Joshua, and now Joshua is giving it to the people. Catch this. He has told them, I want you to build six, not three, four, or five. I want you to have six cities, and these cities are to be cities of refuge. Now, you might be saying the same thing that I was saying. They conquered their enemies, so why do they need refuge? Or what do they need refuge from? They have conquered their Canaan. They possess their possession. They have drove out their enemies. They have inherited the land. They're building their hopes and their dreams and their families. While who in the world would they be running from? Who would need refuge in such a wonderful setting such as that? Well, we have to move from the promise of the city. And now, second of all, we need to look at the purpose of this city. Now watch in verse number 2. The Bible says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge. Wherefore I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Here's the purpose. That the slayer that killeth any person unaware and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Now, let's pretend for just a little while. Maybe it's been a long time since some of you older folks, and I'm one of them, maybe it's been a long time since we have pretended. I want you to pretend for a moment that you're living in Canaan, and you're there, and you're so happy with your family. You have conquered your Canaan. You possess your possession. Joshua has divided up the inheritance, and he says, here's your portion of land. And you're so excited about living there and glorifying God. God has kept his promise. Joshua has led us into victory, and you are celebrating in a big way. And while you're there working and you're framing your house, and all of a sudden you come across a big stone, and you have to move this stone. And so you begin to move the stone. And let's say Matt is the person that's working there. And he moves this big stone, and he's clearing out land for him and Dana. He's so excited about what God has done. And he moves a stone and pushes it over a cliff, not knowing that Justin is building his home right below. And guess where the stone lands? Right on Justin's head, all right? Matt pushes the stone over, and it hits Justin on the head, striking a fatal blow, and Justin dies. Or perhaps, now moving a rock, maybe you were building your fence, and the axe head came off of the axe, and it murdered the person next to you. Somehow, some way, during the work, you accidentally murdered a neighbor. Now, what happens when a person is murdered? The Bible says that the family of the one that had the one murdered, they can go and seek out someone in their family, and they are known as the avenger of blood. Now, you need to know that Avengers didn't start with Marvel Comics. It started right here in the Bible. Somebody say amen. They had to go find the Avenger of Blood. That is, somebody in Justin's family would be chosen to seek out Matt. And the Bible back in those days, punishment was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And if he murdered somebody in their family, then the family had the right to pick out somebody, seek Matt out, and murder Matt, and justice would be done. But the problem is, it was an accident. Matt loves Justin. He's his neighbor. He's his fishing buddy. He's his companion. They've talked together numerous times. They worked. They walked together in the wilderness. They drew swords and fought, conquering their Canaan. He would have never done that. It was an accident. But the family is mad. They are upset, and they are looking for an avenger of blood. And you go out, and you find Matt Halsey, and you destroy him. Moses said that if that happens, I want you to build six cities. Those cities will be a city of refuge. And what Matt can do at that moment, until he goes to the court, until his story is told, he can run to the city of refuge. And while he is in the city of refuge, he can find safety there. While he is in the city of refuge, he can find solace there before the avenger of blood catches him. He's going to need to go somewhere for sanctuary. He's going to need to go somewhere to find safety. He's going to have to go somewhere to find shelter. He's going to have to go somewhere. He needs to go somewhere and live until he can tell his story. This sinner, this person who murdered somebody, this person that done such an awful deed, he needs to go running somewhere that he can find help in time of the storm. Moses says, if he's done it unwillingly, if he did it unaware, if he did it by accident, until he complete his case, he can find shelter in the city of refuge. Now, men and women, listen to me this morning, and this is going to be a short sermon. I know you heard it before, but I'm serious this time, all right? You can write it down in your Bible, but I want you to catch this. This application is so wonderful because it tells me something about Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother David, that's great, but why would I need a city of refuge? Why do we need a place of refuge today? I'm going to tell you why you need a city of refuge, because everybody in this room is guilty of somebody's death. You are guilty of murdering somebody. Every single person, every man, woman, and boy and girl that has ever been born, they are guilty of murder. You need to know that your neighbor next to you, they are guilty of murder. You need to know that your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, they are guilty of murder. You say, well, who did I murder? I take great offense in that. I'm a good person. I'm a godly person. I would never do such a thing. You need to know that all of us here, we are guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. We were sinners and lost without God, and because of our sin, your mama's sin, your daddy's sin, your brother's sin, your sister's sin, your grandma and grandpa, my sin, your sin, because of our sin, Christ had to die for you and I. And there is a sense that we are guilty of the blood and the murder of Jesus Christ. It is me and it is you that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason why. The reason why he died is because of my sins and your sins. I couldn't help myself. I have no hope. I was lost without God, on my way to hell, but Christ died for us. Somebody say amen. I love how Douglas Moo, in his book on Romans, puts it. He said, the Jewish leaders were the people historically used by God to bring his son to the cross, but it was the sin of the entire human race that ultimately required that sacrifice. We are all guilty of the blood of Christ's death, and all of us equally are offered the opportunity to have our sins cleansed by it. Just like the manslayer who is guilty of death, you and I are guilty of a death. Well, you say, well, Brother David, I would have never done that if I was alive. I would have never done such a thing to Jesus if I would have been there. How can I be guilty of such a death? Let me tell you, Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world. He's talking about Adam. By Adam's sin that entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You say, although it's not our fault that we are born this way, it is certainly our fault if we stay that way. You say, Brother David, it's not my fault. I can't help it that I was conceived in sin and born in sin. That's Adam's fault. Listen, it may not be our fault that we were conceived that way and we were born that way, but it will certainly be your fault on the day of judgment if you remain that way. Why? Because God set up a city of refuge, and I'm not talking about a place. I'm talking about a person that you can run to and you can find sanctuary. You can find strength. Hey, you can find salvation and hope in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. It may not be your fault that you were born this way, but it is certainly your fault if you stay that way. You've got a choice this morning. You can choose to sin, or you can choose to have Christ as your refuge. There is shelter. I love that song. Sheltered, safe within the arms of God. There is shelter in the arms of God this morning. You don't have to have a broken life and broken dreams, broken relationships. You don't have to be miserable within yourself. I want you to know there is delight in knowing Jesus. Even in the middle of the storm, you can have delight in knowing the Lord. If you believe it, say amen. You know, there is a death sentence upon all of us. You see, the manslayer had a death sentence upon him. The avenger of blood is seeking him out. The avenger of blood is searching for him. He's going to have to run to refuge, because if the avenger of blood finally catches up, he's going to die. Just like this manslayer who's got a death sentence on him, all of us in this room, we've got a death sentence on us. Every single person that's ever been born within the human race, listen, they have a death sentence on them. We are being pursued by an avenger of blood. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You listen to me, every single person here, you have an appointment with death. My uncle was probably one of the best painters in East Tennessee that you would ever see. He could run a bead of paint. He's painted commercially, residentially, churches, all sorts of stuff. One of the best painters. And he was getting ready to do another job. He owns two car washes there in Athens and another one up towards Madisonville there. He was building some more plans, having some more things going on. He never intended to die. The day that he died, his brand new grandbaby was born in the world on the very same day. He was looking forward to seeing that grandbaby. He was looking forward to holding that grandbaby. He was looking forward in the days ahead to maybe investing some time within that grandbaby. He had no idea that there was an avenger of death that was seeking him out. You need to know, friend, that each and every one of us, we have an appointment with death. You may be here today and gone tomorrow. You may say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow to get right with Jesus. I'll wait till next week to get right with Jesus. I've got to have this in order and that in order before I can get my life in order. You do not have the promise of tomorrow. James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? He asked the question. He says it's even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It is here for a few years, maybe 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. If you live beyond that, it's by the very grace of God, but soon your life is going to vanish away and you will be gone. Why? Because an avenger of death is hot on your trail. You have an appointment with death. The Bible says after death, it says there is the judgment. Oh, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody say amen there. The wages of your sin, the Bible says, is death. You can't escape it. You cannot hide from it. Just like the manslayer in Joshua chapter number 20. He says, well, listen, you say, Brother David, it's not my fault. That was Adam's fault. It's not my fault. It may not be your fault, friend, but if you continue to live that way, it certainly will be, because the wages of the sin of your life, the Bible says, is death. Sin is working death in me. Sin is working death within you. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you want to live forever? Friend, do you want to live forever? If you want to live forever, you're going to have to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. And that living forever, I'm talking about going to heaven. Someone say amen. Oh, you're going to live forever, by the way. It's either going to be in heaven or that awful place called hell. And the only way to escape the fires of hell is by putting your faith and your trust and your hope in the only one that can save your soul, and that's Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen with me. You know, this week doing the funeral, I thought for the Christian, death's the last shadow, isn't it? It's the last shadow before heaven's sunrise. You won't have to be afraid of death. You won't have to be afraid of the shadow of death, the psalmist says. Before heaven's sunrise, the very last shadow that you will ever see and ever experience is that shadow of death before you see heaven's dawn and heaven's sunrise. Oh, friend, why won't you come to Christ tonight? Why won't you come to Him tonight? You don't have the promise of tomorrow. Your life is fleeting away. There's an avenger of death that's hot on your trail. One day you're going to expire. One day you're going to die. And your hope and your refuge from the avenger of death is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord that He's given us that place. Not only the promise of the city, not only the purpose of those cities, so that the person that was innocent of the thing, he didn't have hatred in his heart. It was unwillingly on his part. He's got somewhere he can go and hide until he can plead his case to the authorities, be exonerated and set free and able to live his life. Not only do we see the purpose, but last of all, here's what I want you to see in the next 15 minutes that we have. I want you to see the potential of these cities. Now, it's a short chapter, 9 verses, but what it has to say to us tells us more about Jesus in any other passage here in the book of Joshua. You will find 6 wonderful characteristic traits of Jesus found within these cities. And I believe that the potential of these cities, they were on purpose. They were selected by God for a certain reason. Did you know this, that in the Bible, names has a lot of meaning to them? You'll find in the Bible, when you find a name that ends in E-L, that's El Shaddai, it refers to God. You'll always find that name speaking of some type of reference to God, like Michael. The word Michael, the E-L in Michael, means who is like God. You've got Daniel. You've got other people that there's names in the Bible that are very, very important. Well, the names that you find here, listen to this now, these 6 cities, they are vitally important. Because these 6 cities provide a wonderful picture of what Jesus does for you and I when we come to Him. I want you to map this out with me. First of all, we've seen the city Kadesh. Look at me in verse number 7. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee. And the Bible teaches us here Kadesh. The word Kadesh means a place of holiness. A place of holiness. Evidently, this would be a place that would be surrendered unto God. This would be a place where prayer is offered. This would be a place where the Lord is worshiped. This is a place that is holy unto God. This ground has been consecrated unto God. This territory has been consecrated unto God. It is a place of refuge. It is a place of holiness. Aren't you glad that you and I can run to a place of holiness? I'm so tired of seeing our world turn upside down, Republicans and Democrats fighting back and forth, backdoor deals, lies, scandals, all sorts of things that are happening. I'm glad that I can run to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my city of refuge, and there I can live within a place of holiness. Somebody say amen. You know what the Bible says about holiness? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men. You know, I could preach an entire sermon on those five words. Follow peace with all men. You know, there are just some believers that just don't want to exercise peace. They'd rather fight with everybody than believe in faith with everybody. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, say amen right there, right? If you've ever dealt with people within the church, there are some people that are just so cantankerous. You know, they were cantankerous before they got saved. And they got saved, and now they're just cantankerously saved, okay? They have never, ever changed. You know, they've never yielded their life to Christ, and they just continue to argue and to fight. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. As a child of God, you are always to look for peace. As a child of God, you are to always pursue peace. You're to live your life in such a way that you show the peace of God that passes all understanding. You're not to be fighting and fussing. You're to be showing your faith. Somebody say amen. Follow peace with all men. Watch this. And what's the next word, church? Holiness. Now watch this. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Why, you can't even get into heaven without holiness. You can't even enter into the pearly gates without holiness. You say, well, where does holiness come from? Holiness doesn't come from the church. Holiness certainly doesn't come from the culture. Holiness comes from Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Listen, our Savior knew no sin. His eyes did not behold what God did not want his eyes to behold. His feet never took him where God did not want him to trod. His hands were never involved in what God did not want him to hold on to. His ears never beheld what God did not want him to hear. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Somebody say, amen. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made, here it is, the righteousness of God in him. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that when you see me, you see the blood of Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you are my Kadesh. You are Christ, our Savior. You're the one that provides righteousness. You're the one that provides holiness. You are the door that we enter into the pearly gates. You are the door where we enter into salvation. You are the door where we enter into redemption. You are our Kadesh. You are Christ, our Savior. The first city, Christ, our Savior, a place of holiness. Here's the second city. The second city that Moses chose through the sovereign hand of God was Shechem. Shechem means shoulder. It's a place of support and strength. Strong's Hebrew dictionary defines it as the neck between the shoulders, as a place of burdens. Shechem is Christ, our strength. Christ is our burden bearer. He's the one that upholds us in the midnight hour. He's the one that upholds us when our heart is broken and grieving. He's the one that helps us when we don't know what to do and we don't know where to go and the burden is so heavy and we just can't move on any further. Christ is not only our Savior who gives us holiness, but he's our strength who bears our burdens. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That is, he's the burden bearer. One day, God's going to come back and set all this mess right. Somebody say amen. And Nancy Pelosi will not be ripping up the pages of the Bible when Jesus is on the throne. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah. You may try to get it away, you may try to toss it out, but the word of God is going to prevail, and we will be living in a Shechem. We will be living in a Kadesh, Christ our Savior, Christ our strength. And then you remember the third city, which is Hebron. Remember Hebron? Do you remember that? Do you remember the old guy, Caleb, 80 years old? Give me this mountain that God had promised me. Oh, Hebron meant so much to Caleb. Hebron is a beautiful place. Even still today, there in Israel, it's a wonderful, beautiful place. It has fertile fields. It has a fertile land. There in Hebron, there would be grapes. There would be figs. There would be olive trees. It was a place where they could grow. It was a place that Caleb could prosper. It was a place that he could raise his family. And here in Hebron, knowing that all those provisions are there, it shows us that Christ is our satisfaction. Christ is our satisfaction. When we are living in a spiritual Hebron, we have figs and we have grapes and we have all that God has for us. No matter what your need is, every need He will supply. Somebody say amen. No matter what you're going through, you find satisfaction there in Hebron. Oh, Christ, my Savior. Christ, my strength. Christ, my satisfaction. But look at the fourth city. The fourth city is Bezer. And this one here means stronghold, or to be fortified, or a fortification. It speaks of Christ, who is our stronghold. It speaks of Christ, who is our security. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I can't tell you how many times, just in my own personal prayer life, that I've gotten alone with God and God becomes my strong tower. When it looks like that the enemy is prevailing and it looks like that I am failing, I can run to Jesus and pray in the name of Jesus and God becomes our strong tower. He's the one that brings us security. He's the one that helps us. There are some denominations today and some theologians today, they say that you can lose your salvation, that somehow you can sin it away. You can forfeit your salvation. But I want you to know, according to the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, our Christ, our stronghold, our security, the Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Somebody say amen. You know how my salvation is secure? It is kept by the very power of God. It is kept by Him. There's nothing that I can do to forfeit my salvation. There's nothing I can do to sin my salvation away. Salvation is not contingent upon my works. It's contingent upon the power of Almighty God, Christ, our security. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, Christ, our Savior. Christ, our strength. Christ, our satisfaction. Christ, our stronghold. There's two more. You have Ramoth. The word Ramoth there means exalted or high place. For believers, it means that our Lord is sovereign. Remember Isaiah? In Isaiah's dream in Isaiah chapter number 6, the king had died, the kingdom was in a wreck, and as Isaiah began to pray, the Bible says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I want you to know, friend, our Lord is not silent in the ground. He's not buried in the grave. Up from the grave, He arose with a triumph over all of His foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. Listen, He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. I'm talking about our sovereign Savior who's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's my refuge. There's nobody that can take Him down. There's nobody that can set Him aside. He is our sovereign Savior. Someone say amen. Amen. I love what Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says. Listen to this. And He is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. Listen now. That in all things He might have the, what's the word, church? Preeminence. You know what that word means? First place. That Christ is our sovereign Lord and He should have first place. Curtis, you guys come to the piano as I give this very last city. You've got Christ, our Savior. Christ, our strength. Christ, our satisfaction. Christ, our security and our stronghold. We have Ramoth, Christ, our sovereign Lord. But there's one more that's found in verse number 6, or in verse number 8, rather. The last tribe, the Bible says, and Golan. In Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Golan means separated. It means separated. That means that Christ is my sanctification. The only thing that can separate me from the problems of this world, the only thing that can separate me from my sin that's taking me to hell, the only thing that can separate me from the fires of hell and the darkness of hell and the cares of this world is Christ, my sanctification. Are you living in Golan today, friend? Do you need a city of refuge? You've got a death sentence on you, and the Avenger of Blood is hot on your trail. He is looking for you. He's seeking for you each and every day. And there's coming a day you're going to close your eyes in death. Oh, friend, listen, why don't you run to the city of refuge? I'm not talking about a place. I'm talking about a person. I'm talking about Christ, my Savior, Christ, my strength, Christ, my satisfaction, Christ, my safety, Christ, my sovereign, Christ, my sanctification. He is our city of refuge today. What do you need sanctuary from? What do you need solace? What is it that you need today? Would you come running to Him? You know, I was 12 years old when I came to know Christ. And I remember that night that I got saved. It was dark within the house. The lights were off. Everybody was in the bed. But what that preacher had to say that day stirred my soul. I remember watching the church take communion. And I always wondered why they passed me by. Well, Mom got to take communion. Dad got to take communion. Well, even the toughest guy in church, Jeff Zywick, Jeff was over there taking communion. But the deacons passed me by. And that bothered me because I wasn't saved. When we were at the kitchen table and we would begin, praying, Mom and Dad had always one of us to pray, and I carry that same principle on with my kids. I usually ask one of them to pray, teaching them to pray, helping them to be comfortable in prayer. And Dad would call on me to pray, and I hated to pray. I wish he would have called on Bill. I wish he'd have did it himself. I just didn't want to do it. I was embarrassed about it. I didn't think I had the right words. And so I ran, through some prayer, like rub-a-dub-dub, thank you for this grub, in Jesus' name, amen. And that was my prayer, And so, but when Dad prayed, well, see, my dad was just talking to God right there at the table. And my dad was a crier. You guys have met my dad. He'd shed tears quickly. And man, my dad, every time he would begin to pray, he'd just start crying. He'd cry at the kitchen table over a bowl of Fruit Loops. I thought, that's the silliest thing I've ever seen. Let's just chow down, man, But he's praying over cereal. He's praying over his breakfast. He's praying over a bologna sandwich, He's praying over that spinach. And I said, yuck, that stuff needs prayer. You're about to put it in your mouth, You need to sanctify it. Yuck, And so he'd pray over all that stuff. But when he prayed, I noticed it. His prayers aren't like my prayers. And it bothered me. I'm being passed up in communion. I'm being passed up in prayer. Prayer is a drudgery. But to Dad, it's a delight. You know what God was showing me? David, you are lost and you need Jesus. And that night that preacher preached, he's telling me about an avenger of blood that's hot on my trail. At 12 years old, you don't think about death. At 12 years old, you don't think about dying. Matter of fact, at 20, 30, and 40 years old, maybe even older, you don't think about dying. But the thing is, all of us are going to die. There's a death sentence on us. You are guilty of a death, the death of Christ. My sins, your sins, placed him on that cross. And the avenger of death, the wages of sin is death. He's coming after us. But listen, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what I did that night? In the darkness of that night, I went and got my dad, woke him up. He came in there, opened up the Bible, and he told me how to be saved. And at 12 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've not always done the right thing. I've always not done the best thing. There have been times that I have ignored the voice of God. There have been times that I have failed God. But I want you to know, He has never one time failed me. And all my faults and failures, he's always been there because he loves us today. He's our city of refuge, my savior, my sovereign, my security, my solace, my sanctuary. And I can run to the city and plead my case before him and ask him to forgive me for all of my sins. And Christ in his love and mercy will reach out with a hand of grace and forgive us, friend. Oh, would you come to him today? Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.